Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is December 6th, 2023. This is The Hump. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Check out all the other great videos on our channel. We are here every single night talking pro wrestling in a live post-show format. This week we had interviews drop. We got one with Court Bauer that drops Thursday, I believe it is. We had Trish Adora. On Thursday evening, I'll be joined by Shazza McKenzie. We're going to give you the details behind our match, raise a little bit more, squeeze a little bit more funds for NAMI out of that. But lots of stuff going on. It's been a busy few months, and now things calm down a little bit more, and then they just ramp right back up for the new year. Jimmy Van, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and with your luck, like Sasha Banks is going to return next week, and then the holidays are going to be going to shit for you. But it's funny you mentioned Shazza, because the first thing that I was going to ask you right off the top before we get to wrestling news, I was going to ask about your match. Sean Ross Sapp, he's got another match in the books. He did it last weekend for charity with Black Label Pro against Shazza McKenzie. I saw the footage. I thought you did good under the circumstances because it's been a while. So tell us about... Tell me about it. Like, how much did you raise? You mentioned the charity NAMI. Talk about all that.
So, first off, I got a lot of respect for Black Label Pro. They donated a significant amount to NAMI themselves, because I saw a couple detractors, AKA psychopaths, that were like, oh, well, how much will you really raise? Well, the answer is $6,500 is how much we've raised so far. Sponsorships, donations, and pledges. We had a sponsor who didn't want to be named that hit us up probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago and said, hey, can we sponsor a Fightful show for $100? And I was like, well, here's the shows that can get you. And I was like, but listen, if you want to make a donation to NAMI, I'll promote your stuff on my social media personally, et cetera. And that person spoke to his business partner, and then they sent me a screenshot of them personally donating $2,000 to NAMI and said that they did not need me to promote anything. Awesome. And that meant an awful lot. It meant a lot. And I had outlined this before. Anytime I wrestle or do anything like that, I will not make a dime of it. If I do Cameo, I'm not making a dime of it. When I wrote for Wrestle Talk, I donated that as well. Like, I don't want to make anything outside of Fightful. My objectivity is not going to be altered by that or by any amount. I understand if some people don't like it or whatever, that's fine. You can like or dislike whatever you want in wrestling, but I'm not going to do it for any amount of money, but yeah.
Well, I got to ask you this. So our good pal, Matt Cardona, posted on Twitter, I want a match with Sean Ross Sapp.
Oh my God.
What do you think about that?
We'll see. I'll tell you what I have enjoyed not doing this week. working out or eating right. And I know for some people, they'd be like, you know, you can say whatever you want about that, but I worked very, very hard to be able to do this. But listen, listen, Jimmy, does Matt Cardona want to deal with this? Look at this. Look at this.
I don't know if I know any wrestling moves.
He has never seen a drop toe hold the likes of what I can deliver. Never, I saw, Jimmy.
I saw the atomic drop, too. That was good.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and show the
nice one.
That was the first spot I pitched, Jimmy.
Very good. Very good. Well, I thought you did a great job. And like we said going in, you were going to have detractors because some people just suck. But the fact you raised money for charity, I don't know how anybody could possibly knock that. So good on you.
We've got people. We got super chats, humper chats already. YouTube.com/Fightful. And then, of course, humperchats.com. If you want to ask some more about the Shazza stuff, guys, that is fine. But we are doing a live show at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, myself and Shazza. I don't know how long she'll be around for it, but she was able to carve out some time. And what we're doing there, I find it important considering the nature of my job. Anytime I do something like that or the GCW thing, I'm going to pull back the curtain completely on that because I do it for other people's stuff. Why the hell wouldn't I do it for my stuff? You know what I mean? I think fair is fair. But all the donations for that, if you have any questions about it, will go to NAMI. I had somebody backstage, Jimmy, say, what would you have done if somebody broke the news of you doing a match before you did? And I was like, I would have tipped my cap. Like, what? I can't be mad about that. Yeah. I can't be bothered by that at all. Mm-hmm. But we got somebody saying, Cy, Vince Report from Ringside News. Listen, he's got almost nothing to do with creative right now. There's almost really nothing there. He's not involved in creative. Nobody doubted that he was still involved in some capacity, but
right.
SRS, any updates on Jamie Hayter? How's her recovery? Well, she was not expected back this year, unfortunately. So that's about the extent of which I know. Was water provided backstage with your Shazza match? Ice water on top of that. It was very nice backstage.
I saw Cardona's thing. The fact that promoters actually tried to defend not having water. Unbelievable. I used to promote independent shows back in the day. You can get a big case of water for like $20.
There's some promoters that provide crack and everything.
There you go.
Josh says, any insight on the new SI article on Vince not leaving? Does Wesley's injury change creative majorly with the North American title? Oh, the North American title situation, snake bitten. Mustafa Ali was supposed to win it, got fired. I feel like Mustafa Ali was probably going to win this weekend Wesley was going to win this weekend as well. So I would say so. I haven't heard that definitively, but I would imagine that was sort of a launching pad for him because Dominic is being used to get people over. As far as the SI article and Vince not leaving, I mean, he cashed out an awful lot. Like, and how much money does he really need? But with Vince, the ego of being involved is very, very important to him. We never doubted. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I haven't even seen this article, but he's only leaving if he's forced out. He's not leaving voluntarily.
Yeah. Maya Lesnar with Paul Heyman, WWE Women's Champ. Have you seen the Maya Lesnar stuff about how she's doing shot put? Looks exactly like Brock.
Spitting image.
Yeah.
She looks like Brock with like really blonde hair, like spitting image. It's crazy.
It is pretty wild. I think WWE will certainly be like, hey, what do you think about her wrestling?
She's into it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Hennessy says Brian and Cole AEW runs feel like they've been snake bitten so much when they came in 2 years ago. Every time they build momentum, injury gets them. Well, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, best $54 a year in the business if you want to subscribe that way. Not only do we have news on the Bryan Danielson thing, It's a work, brother.
We've got some pretty, I would say, fairly significant injury news based on the possible implications coming right after this show on FightfulSelect.com. When the list goes on, I'll break some more injury news that I feel like could impact storylines now that we hear about that. But yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of people concerned trolling and fake mad that Danielson, you know, was working and making people think that he was hurt.
Really?
On a wrestling show. Yes.
It's ridiculous. What they do.
I know. Yeah. And he's really, really good at it. It's so dumb. Why are some people wanting AEW to fail so badly?
I've never understood it. I mean, I'm critical of the product when they deserve it, just like I'm critical of WWE when they deserve it. But
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The fact that it's given people a place to work. WWE cannot employ all these people. It's given people a place to work. And not only that, are you going to tell me that the fact that WWE has improved over the last, say, 18 months creatively is a complete coincidence and has nothing to do with the fact that they have competition?
Of course.
Well, I don't understand this whole, I just don't get it. I don't understand why you'd want a company to die when they're providing for people.
And Josh says, with all this negativity around AEW, why would free agents from any company want to go there? Just kind of depressing from a fan standpoint. I don't know. Ask Will Ospreay. Ask Adam Copeland. Ask any number of AEW talent that are going there.
I can answer it. They're getting guaranteed money. They're getting good guaranteed money. And they're working limited dates. And there's your answer.
They got their weekends largely free. Most, like, half of the time they can do signings. They can do a lot of things that you can't do in WWE. They can work a little bit more, I don't want to say creatively, but liberally from a creative standpoint. And I think that that is a very important thing. The versatility of those contracts is matched only by the versatility of NordVPN. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC,
and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. So, Jimmy, the thumbnail for this show is "The Sky Is Not Falling." I mean, this is one of the more exhausting things about social media, whether it be whatever platform, outside of, you know, the psychopaths that we see on there. But it is, first off, just the constant sky is falling, and even the celebration, hypothetically, if that were a thing, whether it be WWE, AEW, TNA, anything, it's not normal behavior, first off, but also it's ill-informed behavior, it seems like.
I don't understand the mindset. Like, these people are not major shareholders in WWE. Like, I just don't understand the mentality. Yeah. And to be honest, this morning, I didn't know what the main topic was going to be for the pod today. But I posted a thing yesterday about the Montreal houses for AEW, and it's gotten like 450,000 views on Twitter. And I was like, Jesus, this is still something people are talking about. And that's why I thought I would talk about it. So I want to talk about the business of wrestling. And we'll start with the CM Punk effect, because I think in a way this might be contributing to the supposed negative perception around AEW a little bit. So Punk returns a week ago, mostly to fanfare, although the Raw promo was polarizing, mostly to fanfare.
Yeah.
And we're seeing instant returns. The episode of Raw where he came back, almost 1.9 million viewers on average. He's going to be on SmackDown this Friday in Providence, Rhode Island. Roman Reigns isn't even advertised because he's not going to be there. SmackDown's going to outdraw Raw from when Raw was there in March in the same building, according to WrestleTix, because of Punk's advertisement. Punk's new t-shirt is a top seller already. So the initial returns are good. Are you feeling a mostly positive vibe around Punk so far?
From who?
Talent, and I guess just general fan perspective.
General fan perspective, yes. Talent is mixed. Publicly, it'll be very positive because WWE, like, the talent aren't going to bury WWE there. But I mean, I've certainly heard from some detractors for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, now I want to dive into AEW business because, like I said, the sky is not falling. Some people seem to think it is. It's not. There does seem to be this negative perception ongoing with them right now. And there have been reports of poor morale in the locker room. I don't know if it's because Punk returning to WWE contributed. I don't know if it's because of the poor houses domestically. I don't know if it's because WWE's hot right now and drawing big crowds. I don't know if it's because television ratings for AEW are down year over year. What are you hearing with respect to just a negative perception surrounding AEW and the locker room?
Around the locker room, it's kind of trended that way for a while, but I mean, to say that it's unanimous would not be accurate. It's never going to be unanimous. There's always going to be people that are happy and unhappy with what they do, but the houses have been something that talent, you know, they echo many of the same sentiments online. They're like, why aren't we running smaller buildings? Well, they booked the buildings out way, way far in advance. It's like, well, they ran Greensboro on 3 or 4 months' notice. So why can't you adjust with some of that? Well, you got deposits down on buildings. You can't switch that. AEW is happy to run bigger buildings in case they get hot, have the nicer amenities, have television production. For example, I'd love if they ran like the Manhattan Center. I would have loved if they ran like the Globe, even that small, old, terrible building. But it's not quite as easy to get your whole TV set up in there. Have the right angles, all that stuff. Plus, it makes things much more difficult. AEW is still running at a fraction of which WWE does. WWE is such a well-oiled machine beyond anything.
Yeah.
AEW still going through growing pains and the like, but I have said the same thing for a long time. I would run smaller buildings. I would greatly decrease the ticket price to the point to where people who can't afford to go can now afford to go, and they can take their whole family. They're excited to go. They're happy to be there. They don't. I mean, listen, if you go to a wrestling show and you've spent $50 as opposed to $200, you're going to be more excited to be there too, probably. Like, you're going to have more money in your pocket. You're going to spend more on merch and all that stuff. You're going to have more of an emotional investment, and more today than ever before, especially with TV ticket sales. For a company like AEW, it's less important than it used to be. But WWE, it's still very important because they're a hot ticket right now. AEW just isn't a hot ticket, unfortunately. And they don't run Collision in Montreal. What the hell are they doing that show in Montreal? What the hell are they doing in Montreal in December anyway?
Well, I mean, we're going to... It's not just because of the weather. I mean, WWE is going to be doing fine.
I'm just saying that in general. I know that one of the lines of thinking of some live event promoters is you do go to cold places in the winter because it's something indoors that you can do.
It's true. Well, I'm going to explain in a bit again why things are not so bad in AEW. But as you just alluded to, there are glaring issues that need to be fixed. And quite honestly, Sean, this shit has existed for so long. I can't believe they haven't fixed them yet. Like, I almost want to isolate this clip of what we're about to talk about. I almost want to isolate and put it on Twitter because
I don't want you to, Jimmy.
I'm not gonna, but listen, whoever is involved with their live event strategy, they're like Homer Simpson sperm. You know what I mean? Have you seen the episode of The Simpsons with Homer sperm? They're like dope, but running into each other. Dope. I feel like whoever's involved with live events with AEW is Homer Simpson sperm because these issues have existed for months, not days, not weeks. For months. Here's the thing, though. The AEW fans that defend everything that they do, including the shitty houses, those people are not realistic. But the people that are saying AEW is going to die, they're not realistic either, because AEW is just doing just fine. But they have to fix these problems. You mentioned Montreal, right? Montreal is traditionally a hot wrestling market. They chose the Bell Center. The Bell Center is a massive venue. It holds 21,000 for NHL games. Elimination Chamber in February drew over 17,000. Granted, it was the Sami Zayn bloodline story, and Sami was the hot act, and he was the local guy. But even WWE house shows at the Bell Center have drawn over 8,000 with consistency. According to WrestleTix, AEW distributed less than 2,900 tickets for the Collision taping yesterday, Tuesday, in a building that big. That's just not good. And they even ended up offering free comps in order to try to make the building look good on TV. And as you mentioned, people were quick to kind of come up with an excuse. Oh, Collision only airs on the TSN app. It's not on cable. Oh, the AEW product is cold. Montreal is a WWE market. But like I mentioned, I went on Twitter yesterday and I asked, what are your thoughts about the way they're drawing in Montreal? The answers were mostly not what I just mentioned. The answers were the same shit that we've been hearing for months, the same thing. And so I want to talk about this, hoping that maybe somebody will see it and get a clue. That's kind of why I want to address it. So the first one is overpriced tickets. There was one guy that said to me on Twitter that it would have cost him over $300 to go to the show. Now, he didn't tell me where the tickets were located, but he said it would have cost him over $300. That's a common complaint, man. We've been hearing about overpricing in various markets for months. They need to cut the prices day one.
Is that Canadian?
Yes, but they're living in Canada, so, you know. Sure.
So, I mean, for those that don't know, chop at least 20% off of that. About $240.
Okay, sure. But when they overprice the tickets, that leads to problem number two. And what's problem number two? Last-minute discounts. People now have learned when it comes to AEW, at least right now, the shows aren't going to sell out. If you wait to buy tickets, you're going to get them massively discounted, or you're going to get them for free like they offered for Collision. Sure. But here's the problem again. You're penalizing the fan that you don't want to penalize. You're penalizing the most devoted fan that's buying early at full price.
Yeah, right now, you can get two tickets Canadian, $62 before Dynamite.
Right. Well,
because they've knocked them down.
And I bet you if you wait and walk up, maybe you'll get it for free even. You know what I mean? And you don't want to turn off your most devoted fan. That's the fan you don't want to turn off. Otherwise, the next time that you're in town, they're not going to want to buy. So ticket prices is a major issue. But the other major issue is local promotion. And I can't believe that we're talking about this again. Local promotion. Several people said to me that they didn't even know AEW was taping Collision until a week ago. They didn't even know. Do you know who Pat LaPrade is?
I do.
So Pat LaPrade is a pretty well-known writer. and WrestleTix talked to him, and he told them there is zero buzz in Montreal for either the Collision taping on Tuesday or live Dynamite tonight. He said the zero buzz for them. AEW relies on their TV shows and they rely on Twitter because that's what Tony Khan likes, right? It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Their local promotion is shit and they have to do a better job. And then another issue that seems to come up a lot with them, they run too soon before a WWE show in the same market. That's happened across several markets too. WWE promotes a lot better. That means they're going to draw a lot better. And the average person over a 30 or 60 day span, they're probably not buying tickets to both shows. They're probably not spending money on both shows. Because WWE promotes better, they're going to go to WWE and AEW is going to lose out. So these are all issues. Now, there's a fifth issue I'm going to get to in a minute. But before I get to it, what are your thoughts on these ongoing mistakes that they never seem to fix with their live event strategy?
I think at this point they need to revamp a lot of that, which I mean, some of it does have to do with the on-screen stuff as well. AEW fans want more of the AEW product that they tuned in for, because in 2019 and 2018, this company was developed because people were very unsatisfied with WWE. Right. WWE fans are no longer, by and large, unsatisfied with WWE. So I don't think that leaning into, well, you know what, we should go more WWE style because they're hot. I just don't like that. I don't think that that's a good idea to do. And I don't think it's because of anything. I think that the Continental Classic is a good idea, even though there are dumb fans who will pretend that they don't understand what it is. And if you're among those, use Google. Like it ain't hard. But I think they need to stick to their identity, but, you know, embrace their identity a little bit more, because you can still do a traditional AEW show and have Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. You can still do that. But it feels like the audience had felt a little disenfranchised. Eloquent says, outside of Toronto, AEW hasn't drawn well in Canada. Yeah, and it wasn't as great in Toronto. Is it bad if they can't use pyro and smaller venues?
No.
If they put asses in seats, who cares about pyro?
Yeah.
To Jimmy's point, WWE is all over Phoenix when coming. Yeah, and they've done a lot better about getting media interviews and stuff. But I can tell you personally, for Louisville, when I do interviews about local wrestling shows, a lot of the newspapers around here will pick it up. Some of them will hit me up and say, hey, do you mind if we effectively aggregate what you're publishing on Fightful? And I'm like, hell yeah, good publicity for us. I hit up AEW multiple times about promoting Louisville, was told, oh yeah. And then crickets, man.
And I can't speak for most of the Canadian events because I'm not local to them, but I can tell you the Toronto shows.
Sure.
If I was not part of Fightful and if I did not kind of have a finger on the pulse of this, I heard nothing about the Toronto shows. That's just kind of how it is. And tell me if you think I'm wrong or maybe I'm, you know, I'm just not looking the right way. Edge versus Christian, Adam Copeland versus Christian, right? Major match in a Canadian market. WWE is going to be in Laval, Quebec in 3 weeks. Laval is about a half an hour away from Montreal. Just a live event, not a TV taping. According to WrestleTix, they've distributed 6,100 tickets for that house show, which is more than AEW has distributed for Dynamite tonight with Edge versus Christian in the main event. Like, that shouldn't happen. This shouldn't happen. Montreal is a city of 3 million people. So I definitely think the overpriced tickets, and I agree with what you're saying, that maybe the product being cold is contributing. Maybe they're in the wrong market. Maybe they're in a market that's traditionally WWE. But I think promotion is a major issue because that should be a big matchup. It should be a big matchup. And even if you don't know the name Adam Copeland, because wrestling fans might know Edge, he's all over the advertising.
Put him on the poster, yeah.
Yeah, at least that I've seen, because there's not a lot of advertising. So it's a problem. One other problem that I want to talk about and get your opinion on, and this is something we've talked about before. So you know how I said that I went on Twitter and I asked people for feedback about why things are drying?
Always ends up well with you.
It does. There was one thing that several people said that I never thought about, Sean.
Okay.
I never thought about. Several people said that the reason that they chose not to get tickets for the shows is because they didn't know if their favorites were going to be on them. And that is because of AEW's bloated roster. Now, when you go to Raw, let's say you go to a Raw taping, you know you're going to see Cody Rhodes. You know you're going to see Seth Rollins. You know you're going to see Gunther. You know you're going to see Becky Lynch. You know you're going to see these people. When you go to an AEW taping, you don't know until maybe the day before when they announce the card if you're going to see Darby Allin. You don't know if you're going to see Kenny Omega. You don't know if you're going to see whoever because their roster is bloated. And that's a big issue.
Well, beyond bloated, it's less definitive. Like at least when the CM Punk collision thing was going on,
yes,
they had a pretty, I don't want to say pretty defined, but a fairly defined series of rosters to where yes. you knew who you were going to see. And I mean, like in general, if you combined all of the WWE rosters, you could say it was bloated, but they've got a very defined list of talent who will be here. And WWE does a phenomenal job of posting on their website who they know for sure is going to be there.
And I agree with you. I think if they had a split roster, it would help because then people would be, they would know who they're going to see, especially if it's their favorite. But yeah. the other side of that coin now that we're starting to see with the bloated roster, wrestlers now are starting to become vocal online with their frustration over not being used. We're starting to see that now.
Sure.
The Hardys on a podcast, Britt Baker on Twitter about no promo time. We used to talk about the bloated roster because we used to just talk about payroll and about how yeah. you have this fixed cost. Now we're starting to see the negative effects or the negative consequence of having that bloated roster. And I respect Tony Khan for the fact that he honors contracts and for the fact that he doesn't release guys unless they deserve it. He likes to honor the contracts, and that's very noble yeah. of him. But it seems like they're continually adding more contracts than they're subtracting. And now we're seeing the negative repercussions of it. And I think that's something that they need to change. What are your thoughts?
I mean, they're letting more deals expire. We've seen that. I mean, QT's going, Brian Pillman gone. Like there have been a lot of guys like Avalon that went on to per appearance deals, but then there are also people they have just signed and then not used. Parker Boudreau. Why did they sign him? Why the hell did they sign him? EJ Nduka, who I like they signed him. Where's he been? What's he mm-hmm. doing? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. effectively nothing. They do that an awful lot. I think he's a good signing, but they don't have like a developmental territory. He's not necessarily getting a lot of reps anywhere else. He was working, you know, some dark matches and stuff like that on Collision, but not working ROH or anything like that. Right. I also think Joey Janela was on the right track when he said they should be running ROH like an indie.
Right.
Tony Khan doesn't need to be there. If you can't run smaller venues for AEW, run smaller venues 2 or 3 times a month for ROH. Go to the Hammerstein Ballroom. Tony ain't got to be there. He can book remotely. Mm-hmm. Put some of your talent on there. Go to geographical locations and you'll see what the type of reaction is for the ROH AEW brand in that area. Like I really think that's something they should hand off to somebody else and sort of create a bit of environment there that they don't have with AEW. What I miss so much about AEW is just the raucous crowds, how great it was. That's why I went to so many AEW shows when they first started, was because I wanted to be a part of that environment. Now they were in Louisville. I didn't go. Mm-hmm. Like I got no real desire to go. Mm-hmm. But you know, while we're speaking about desire,
if you're watching this, you have probably considered becoming a pro wrestler at some point. Well, let me tell you, I got your gimmick and I got your gimmick. Here's your gimmick name, Rock Hard Eric Shins. And your gimmick is Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Same approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but you don't want those. You don't want those. You want Blue Chew. It's chewable, gets into your system a lot faster. It's ready when you are or when you're not. Maybe you need that motivation. Maybe you need that step up in performance. Or maybe you just want a little bit of additional confidence. Take an online questionnaire with a physician, and when approved, it arrives straight to your door. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping because that first shipment is free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Mailman's not going to know what's up. The nosy Nellies around your neighborhood aren't going to know what's up. But let me tell you, that special someone's going to know what's up. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
We're going to get to a bunch of super chats, a bunch of humper chats. And yeah, we've got a ton of them. Any other details on Wesley's injury? It is legit. He's going to miss upwards of a year, unfortunately.
That sucks.
Very, very unfortunately. Is TRT legal in WWE or AEW? I have never heard of anybody getting drug tested in AEW. It's in their contracts that they can be, but I've never heard of it. So basically the way the WWE's land are, they have thresholds. And let me tell you, if you fail a drug test in WWE for something like that, your thresholds have got to be so off the charts that it is ridiculous. Now, there were a lot of people back in the day who definitely were abusing that. But the thresholds that I have heard of are high enough to where you can do something, but, you know, do it a little more responsibly than when people had traps growing out of their ears in like 20 years ago. Mr. CJ Lilly says, just wanted to send congratulations to all the new wrestling babies that arrived last month, the Carmella, Alexa, Ty Mello. Nice to have something good to talk about. Can you clear up Alexa's contract status? I can't clear up Alexa's contract status because I don't know how that works, especially as it pertains to pregnancy. I don't know if they freeze it. I don't know if it's one of those things where they go to Alexa and they say, do you want us to freeze this? Do you want the time to tick away? Because maternity leave, it's categorically different. Like, Jimmy, you were mentioning to me how in Canada, employment laws with pregnancies are they're just significantly different than here in the States too. So each company, where you live, any number of things can weigh into that. But yes, congratulations to all three of those wrestling babies that we got. Corey says, Lash, Bianca, Jade, Rhea, WWE, strong woman champion. Lash has got some way to go in the ring, but I thought that was a great spot for her on NXT, Jimmy, slamming Otis. That was very cool.
She held him up too.
Yeah, it was great.
That was not Lex Luger, Yokozuna. You know what I mean?
She did better than Hogan slamming Andre.
Yeah,
you might want to go back and look at that again, Jimmy. Maybe. I know you romanticize it, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, just because it was one of the greatest moments, you know, for me as a kid.
But until now?
Yeah,
anyway, Mr. Straight Fire says, which scenario is more likely? WWE, Triple H had interest in CM and waited to the last minute to negotiate to not impact creative if things fell through, or it started when they saw interest from the fans. CM Punk contacted WWE, and it happened about 10 days before he showed up. And I told Jimmy, I told Denise, I told my staff the Monday before he showed up that I had heard that they had a conversation. Like, that was something that I shared with them. But even then, CM Punk didn't seem to think, okay, this is going to happen. But I'm sure he'll open up more as he can. But this came together in the 2 weeks prior. But I'm going to work to find out how this altered creative. It didn't alter Raw last week that much because they just put him in at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hennessy says, Sean, you did great. Anyone who says otherwise is an idiot. Favorite show of the week. Really enjoy it, guys. Keep killing it with the hump. Listen. I'm very proud of what we did. I'm proud of how I performed in the ring. Didn't get blown up. Didn't do any moves that looked terrible. Wish I would have. I saw somebody that said I sold like a Looney Tunes character. And I was like, you know what? They said it as an insult. And I thought, you know, I wish I was more animated than I was. That was my criticism. Will says, I bet tracking the merchandise stuff will be less drama that will Punk show up at WWE. I mean, there was going to be less drama in WWE with Punk, for sure. Less drama because it'll be a one strike, you're out type of thing. I am very excited to hear Punk's merchandise numbers. I had heard that Cody did some incredible numbers in Chicago as well.
Did AEW have issue tracking merch? Because it sounds like that's what they're alluding to. I never heard of that.
No, I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Nakamura, Okada at Mania, please Triple H. It's a possibility.
No.
It's a possibility. Why do you say no?
It's almost like rehashing the Will Ospreay thing again.
Why?
Keep in mind,
WWE has a massive deal in Japan now.
I understand. Keep in mind. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okada's wife is like a famous actress, right?
Yeah. So,
There's only one way that I could see it work, and I was going to talk about this later. Maybe we should talk about it now. There's only one way I could see this work, and that is if WWE cut their house shows.
Yeah.
because NXT Japan's not going to be ready for that kind of payroll, not within the time frame that he's going to be available. If they cut their house shows, that would allow him, you know, on a consistent basis to go back to Japan. Maybe it could work. He's not moving to the US. Like, he's not. And maybe. So I just do not see it. And so I think
a lot
it's
of people
a leverage
said that about thing. Nakamura.
I guess I think it's different. Like when you've got a famous celebrity wife there, and I believe they have a young child, I just don't see it. I think it's a leverage thing to either get a deal at AEW or a new deal with New Japan. That's just what I think.
We have so many super chats, Humper chats. Let's go. New Lack City says, what's with the Tony Khan derangement? You would think he kicks dogs and babies in his spare time. He can't post positive or non-wrestling news. He gets an inordinate amount of hate. We need to do a Ghost of Wrestling Pass on WWE Monopoly times. Listen, guys, I can tell you personally that the people that I deal with are very, very weird. I can't imagine what Tony Khan deals with.
Oh,
the people that act like that are fucking weird. And I mean this. If you see behavior like that, just say, guys, this is not normal behavior. This is not the way that people act. If you can't imagine yourself saying this, what you tweet out loud to another human being, you probably shouldn't tweet it. Because if you're on a date and that person says, what did you do today? And you say, well, have you ever heard of AEW? And they go, no, what's that? A wrestling company. Yeah, well, the owner is a big Mark, et cetera, that person's going to look at you like you got six heads. Like, don't come on, guys. Have some common sense. Bizarro Big L says, congrats, Sean, on 33 stars from WrestleTalk on your match. I have not sent that. Somebody please send me that. On the devil story, do we think Adam Cole and MJF's love of HBK and Roddy Piper are playing into the style? I don't think it's exactly going to be the barbershop window, but who knows? We may get something insane. I think that Adam Cole is involved personally. That's how I feel. And I do think that it will play into things. I think it is a bit of a Shawn Michaels, Roddy Piper hybrid. I think it's a good shout. Team Canada says, Jimmy, saw your tweet on tickets in Montreal. Collision is only on TSN Plus, not even on TV here. They ended up with about 4K, not 2,500. Well, yeah, that was the numbers yesterday.
Yeah, no, they ended up at 2850 as of this morning from WrestleTix. And what happened was they had distributed another 1200 for comps, and they didn't get taken. So they ended up getting pulled back. They did about I think the exact number was 2852 according to WrestleTix.
Said can't go on back to back nights. Sorry, Collision. Well, they're airing on TSN2 this week, which is nice. The optics. When the hell did wrestling fans become experts in business and PR? Listen, one of the things I like talking about the least is about ratings and stuff like that, but it's my job. If I was a fan, I would not give, I mean, I am a fan, but if I didn't do this as a job, I would never give a shit about ratings. But hey, to each their own. Van Twinblade says, how in the hell is HBK even in the running for Booker of the Year? Just because there are multiple women's match on TV does not make him Booker when the stories are not good. Better bookers include Scott D'Amore, Dave Prazak, and Dan the Dad. Exposure and you know, familiarity go a long way. I think he's done fine. I think he's done all right, especially with the constraints that he has that so many other people don't have. He has to answer to somebody.
NXT's... Granted, they've had the advantage of having main roster talent, but they've had a great year, and they've established a lot of new names, I think, over the last year.
Will says, can you please promote Mel Coleman's GoFundMe? Her art is breathtaking, even if she works for that combination of slimy garbage and unseasoned food in human form, Don Callis. We love Mel Coleman here. So, yes, please check out her GoFundMe. Jose says to subscribe to Fightful Select. So worth it. Gonna say I'm sick of the negativity on social media. How can someone be so miserable to hate on you wrestling for charity? Well, Jose, the best way I can say it is they don't touch consensual butts. They don't touch grass. They, you know, they don't have hobbies. It's their personality to hate wrestling people. It says also, the hate Tony Khan gets on social media is deranged. X is a cesspool.
I want to get to the positives about AEW because I see a lot of people in the chat saying, hey, they've only talked about the negatives.
Oh, well, we got, you know what they can do? Send a super chat because that's what I'm getting through right now. Tony says, if he stays healthy, we know Swerve is getting the world title in 2024. The question I have is, if he wins the CC, should he be world champ at the beginning of 2024 or the middle end of 2024? Lose the finals and go for the world title at Revolution? He's hot right now, Jimmy. I think they tie up some loose ends, give him another big win, and he should be going for the world title. I think the crowds are probably going to turn him babyface before long.
I think so too. Yep, I think so too, because they recognize it. So obviously they want to wrap up the MJF Devil stuff. And yes. You know more about this. Like, when is Cole good to go? Do you know when Cole's good to work?
I don't know. But okay. I think he's involved in the Devil. That's how I feel. It'd be the appropriate reveal, right?
I think so too, but obviously they want that to pay off in the ring, I imagine, before they, unless they do something where MJF loses to Swerve because the Devil helps, maybe, yeah, and then they peel off MJF with the Devil after he loses the title. That's a possibility, but Swerve's the hot hand, and I think you got to go with the hot hand.
John says he sees the Texas Death Match as the feud ender in AEW now. At one time, Lights Out was viewed in that way. However, it's been over 2 years since we've seen it. Do you think the Texas Death Match has replaced it, or they could still use it for TV while pay-per-views get the Texas Death Match? I think pulling back the Lights Out match and then doing this is a good idea. I mean, it's basically a last man standing match is effectively what it is. But I think that with the template that has been set for the Texas Death Match in AEW, it's the right one. Because I know there were plans to do more Hangman Swerve. And then after that match, they're like, well, how can we do that? How can we do that? And I think that was the right idea. That was a good audible called.
It used to be that the cage match was the blow off. That's how it used to be.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think they were going to do a cage match.
Okay. There you go. Just so long as they don't do the Texas Death Match thing too often, because it's going to lose its specialness. Like, if they leave it maybe once a year or something. But I agree with you. How do you go further with Swerve and Hangman after that? You got to peel them off.
Any clue on those people signed full-time like Billy and Julia to AWROH who didn't get the graphic or something like full-time deals? I mean, Billy is signed full-time. Julia Hart signed full-time. We had reported that on Fightful Select. There's rumors of Vikingo being signed already, but Rocky posted an all-in ticket promo with himself and best friends. Well, I mean, there are people that are signed but aren't on the full-time all-elite deals that still got some of those graphics. And there's not, that's why we're doing some of those stories on Fightful Select. That's why I'm reporting some of those, because I had some people that go, well, of course Julia's signed, she's got a title, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But not everybody on that roster page is full-time. Not everybody getting a graphic on the all-in thing is full-time, salaried, et cetera. So that's why we try to determine those. Heard anything on Punk and creative terms for his first match program? I assume Seth, but I don't know that for sure. Jimmy's thoughts on Creed. Jimmy, I sarcastically picked up a Creed vinyl a couple weeks ago, greatest hits. It was a couple months ago, and I was like, hee, hee, hee. Then I looked at the back, and I dropped down to $30 and bought it.
Oh, did you? So I didn't know if he was talking about, like, the Creed brothers, if he was talking about, like, the Creed movie franchise.
He's talking about Creed, because the match right before mine had heavy Creed integration into it.
Got it. I mean, they're fine. I know of a few of their songs. Their lead singer was like really talented, really good singer. But I don't really have one thought one way or the other. They're fine.
You do know their connection to Alter Bridge, right?
No, I don't.
So the band that does Edge's theme, it's the Creed band with just a different
singer. A new singer? Did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, Mark Tremonti, the guitarist for Creed, was the creative force behind those two bands.
Okay, there you go.
We read that one. Modern says, with all the perks you spoke about that come with going to AEW, why would free agents consider going to WWE at this point? Seems like AEW signs everyone. Money, exposure, fame, the dream when you're a child. I'll say this again. Don't try to understand the motivations of millionaires or rich people or artists, because it's going to be different. It's always going to be different.
I think it also depends on their aspirations. Like, if you look at a Jade Cargill, she's been pretty outspoken. She wants to eventually transition to acting. And if you want to do that, WWE is the spot. And she recognizes that. So, yeah, it depends on their aspirations.
We are still a half hour behind on Super Chats and Humper Chats. Wasn't alive for WCW versus WWF. Were the tribalists like this? Wish we got the Deadlock Pro Wrestling signings in the breakout tourney such as Jay Malachi. Well, I mean, I think they're just reporting to the PC next week, but Deadlock Pro doing some great things. Yes, there were tribalists like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if there were as many people online calling people coke addicts and pedophiles and goofy shit like that that you see. It's definitely...
there was no Twitter back then. There was no, you know what I mean? Like I had my old site from 97 until like 2006 during that time. And all I had was email, and I didn't even have video YouTube like this. Like it was just email and comments that I could delete if I wanted to. So it was, but there absolutely were tribalists 100%.
New age assholes. Why were WWE out of the Ken Shamrock business for so long? Whose idea was it to release new merch? I don't know whose idea it was to release new merch. They were not keen on the way in which he left, which was very, very abruptly. It was a fair financial decision for him because he went on to have some of the biggest UFC fights after that. But also, I mean, the guy was pretty publicly on PEDs, and I don't know if they wanted to necessarily just get in bed with that. But yeah, they're doing merch for him. I think they should probably do that for more people. You think Priest and Bayley are kicked out of their groups by the Rumble? Priest, no. Bayley, yes. Jimmy, I think so.
I agree with you. I mean, they're definitely going down that road already. I agree.
Don't think it helps when AEW talent go on social and talk about how they're not happy with the booking. Optic-wise, I think they should keep it in-house. Well, I think they will, because now Bryan Danielson will be fining them.
Yeah.
Based on social media conduct. That is a thing. That is a part of his disciplinary committee thing. I know of at least one or two people that have been fined by him.
Good, because I agree. I mean, remember we used to talk about Guevara back in the day.
Yeah.
Don't post that shit like that. I agree. It's a smart move to try to get them out of that.
Any predictions, surprises for NXT on Saturday? No, that's one of those that I'm going to enjoy the show. I think Baron Corbin will have I think a lot of people will be surprised because that guy can work his ass off.
Isn't Dragon Lee getting the spot with Dominic? I think.
Yeah. And I think there's a good chance that Dragon Lee wins that because I think that Wesley was going to win. So Wesley's brother Dragon is going to win the title. I think
I want to give props to Dragon Lee because, you know, he can go in the ring and like lots of guys can go in the ring. And I've talked about how in order to reach the next level, you need to offer more than that. I see all these videos of him exchanging masks with fans. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's great.
Really cool that he does stuff like that. And he's got that wherewithal when it comes to dealing with fans. It's going to get him far in the company. I think he's doing well.
To Jimmy's point, WWE is all over Phoenix when coming. There you go. WWE coming all over Phoenix. KE775 says, is Britt Baker's frustrations limited to her? Do you think it applies to other in the women's locker room? It applies to others for sure. There are definitely women who want to be featured more heavily that feel like they should be put in more substantive storylines. Britt Baker, I mean, that woman works through a lot. I'll say that. And if a lot of people knew half the stuff that she has had to work through or experience, not contingent to AEW, completely unrelated to treatment there, I think the view on her would be a lot different, but that's hers to tell. Chris Rain says their local promotion is really bad. When they were in Indy, more people found out about the show from me than AEW promotion. I mean, yeah, they should be following a lot of templates that have been set and trying new things. They should absolutely be stepping out and doing different things. Does AEW need to split to two shows? At least have a couple of talent or a few talent that you know are going to be on whichever show.
I mean, I'll tell you this much. I think the next TV deal is going to determine the fate of Collision. I'm not convinced Collision is going to stick around.
I agree.
So they got to wait and make a decision based on that.
Or maybe Rampage doesn't stick around.
Possibly both.
Soupy says AEW has no French Canadian broadcasting too. So for Montreal and Quebec, there's a lot of French speaking people who maybe have never seen the product. They should hire Lufisto. K775 says, are you surprised NXT has pushed Lexus King so quickly that he's interacting with Carmelo and Trick? No, because I think they want to establish to outgoing AEW talent that they can come to WWE and get a significant push, and they're going to put a lot of people in sink or swim situations. And he did not have to go through a lot of the training that a lot of other people did. He'd already worked TV. He'd already been through wrestling school, all that.
I also think the fact that his dad worked with Sean and Hunter makes a difference.
There you go. Jeff Stone says, this is my opinion, but I think AEW needs to lower their price promotion, stop doing double tapping or double taping and pre-taping Rampage and ROH. Yeah, I think they should tape ROH separately. It is a different audience, a different product. I know that you want the slick presentation and the convenience, but I think they should do it a little bit differently. Pre-taping Rampage, they got to do that, but I do think they need to lower their prices. Do you think Triple H getting control of WWE has a ripple effect AEW will not be able to overcome? I think Triple H getting control of WWE certainly helps them land free agents, Jimmy, over Vince being the guy at the helm.
Yeah, I think them saying that AEW can't overcome, that's not necessarily true. You know, it's, think back to WCW, right? So WCW, they're losing the war. WWE overtakes them. Austin's hot, Rock's hot, DX is hot, whatever. Looks like WCW is going to be dead in the water. Then all of a sudden, along comes Bill Goldberg. And at least for the next year or two, WCW remained hot because they got Bill Goldberg. If AEW can get the right talent with the right story at the right time, they could definitely see an uptick in their numbers. I just don't think they've presented that. I don't think there's been a story that's compelled enough of their audience.
We'll be here a few minutes after four, guys, because you guys are really hitting us with the super chats and humper chats. We greatly appreciate that. We also have some breaking news on an injury coming to FightfulSelect.com right after this show. Will says, with Triple H having full points do you think it hurts the optics of AEW? Before AEW, NXT Black and Gold was doing what the fans loved. With Vince out of that part, could that play a part? So what he's saying here is, WWE had their own AEW in NXT Black and Gold. Now, not so much. How do you think that AEW being around and maybe not doing the same things that they were doing and NXT Black and Gold were doing, how do you think those optics have shifted, Jimmy?
So I think it's a multiple choice answer, if that makes sense. So sure. I think that a lot of disgruntled WWE fans were watching AEW. That wanted to watch WWE too. They wanted WWE to be better. WWE sucked. I mean, we used to talk about it under Vince. Loopholes all over the place with the show. A lot of frustration. Hunter made things better. And I think a lot of those WWE fans went back to the WWE product. Then you had the lapsed fans who wanted an alternative. AEW offered that alternative. But then over the last year, they've kind of become WWE light to a degree, doing more promo segments, trying to attempt more storylines. And I think a lot of those lapsed fans got turned off because if they want that, they got WWE. So I don't necessarily think it was because they had AEW in terms of NXT and then Hunter became the guy with WWE, so much as the WWE product improved. And at the same time, the AEW product lost some of what brought people to them in the first place. I think it was a combination of those two things.
What do we got here? This is my opinion, says Jeff, but I think, oh, we just read that one. Matt says, I don't want people getting released, but we know Andrade, Buddy, Black wanted to go back to WWE. Would it help AEW to let the talent leave that wanted out? Maybe a little bit, but also you signed a contract and you guess why you signed a contract? Because WWE fired all three of you. So, sorry.
The only thing I will say to that is if somebody causes a problem and if they flat out disobey, I would cut them. And when I think about Andrade Guevara, I would have cut Andrade. And I understand Tony Khan was probably thinking, oh, he wants to go back to WWE. It's probably what he was thinking. And so maybe almost out of spite, they kept him. You don't want that in your locker room. So when things happen that make them deserve a release, even if they want that release, I'd probably get him out of my locker room. But otherwise, I would make them honor it for sure.
Alex Fitzgerald says, as much as I hated the Sinclair era of ROH, it was better than what TK is doing. Final Battle has no world title, TV title, or tag title on the card. It should absolutely be in a smaller venue. However, what I would say about that is, first off, be patient. But yeah, the TV title is on the show because they got the Dalton Castle Commander, Moriarty, Fletcher, Lee Johnson match. Athena Billy Starks is a great match. Keith Lee, Shane Taylor is a great ROH match. I think they should put an ROH title on show on, or title match on Jimmy. And here's what I think they should do. Whoever Eddie Kingston's opponent is around that time for the tournament should just be in that. And they should say these two titles are on the line as a result. I think that's a good way to go with that. Sean, do you know any more about the AEW departure of Kevin Sullivan? Meltzer seemed to indicate a lot of people in AEW are not happy about it because he's been there from the beginning. That is true. There are some people that like him an awful lot. They have tied him going back to TNA, but I think that probably negatively affected him because I think that there are some in the company that want to move away from the TNA practices and the Impact practices that existed before. And also, I think they're trying to get more mobile with their post-production stuff and didn't want necessarily an office in Nashville. Eloquent says, also, AEW needs to avoid running Collision and Dynamite in the same city. Went to Forbidden Door 2, but not going to Collision Dynamite was too pricey. I know they do this for convenience, Jimmy, but it seems... does the convenience outweigh the amount of money that it would cost them?
I think it depends on where they're at. I think it depends on the market. So, yeah. You know, when they were in the greater Toronto area and they were running like Hamilton and Toronto, what did they do? Like two shows each over a span of a week or something? Like that was just, anybody could have predicted that wasn't going to work. Doing the Bell Center back to back when they don't necessarily have a great presence in the province of Quebec. And when WWE was going to be 30 minutes away 3 weeks later, that wasn't going to do well either. But, you know, we've seen in some markets like Chicago, they would do well. I think it depends on the market. But again, Collision's future is going to be dependent on their next rights deal. Because when you look at, say, the Bell Center taping last night in Montreal, they got their asses kicked. I mean, they did. I saw on Select, I think you put that the company was happy with the product, like with the quality of the product at the taping. But in terms of the financials, they got their asses kicked with that show. And it's not viable to be doing that every week if you're not getting paid for it. So depending on the next rights fee deal, Collision is going to, you know, it's going to survive or it's going to be cut, I think.
Speaking of this, thoughts, explanations on house show cutting. Yeah. There's a lot of churn, so to speak. They're not like overly profitable. And if you can cut those, increase ticket sales on other shows, increase morale, well, then you know what? Keep your wrestlers safer. They were thought about cutting them 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, or it was 3-4 years ago. So
I kind of got mixed feelings on it. So it was Mark Shapiro. He's the COO of TKO. And he spoke at the UBS media conference, which is basically an investor conference. Yeah. And the term that he used was, he said that they are dilutive from a margin perspective, which is a very corporate thing to say. They're dilutive from a margin perspective. What he meant is that the house shows aren't making money. And he suggested that they're going to cut back on them. I look at it like this. So on the one hand, WWE is a content business, not a live event business. They're generating billions in television revenue. Their talent is their greatest resource. So it makes sense to risk injury to the talent with less house shows. Like, that makes sense.
Yes.
On the other side of the coin, though, you want your wrestlers to stay sharp. And doing more than one match a week is going to help them with that. And I think a lot of the wrestlers would agree with that. I think a lot of the wrestlers would like to do more than one show a week. So what do you think you do, Sean? Like, I think that you cut down on them, but you don't eliminate them. But at the same time, unless the TV days change with the new deals that they have, you got SmackDown Friday, you got Raw Monday. It makes sense to do, say, a dual combined show Saturday and Sunday. They do that already now, and except, I think that's all they do.
I think except during the holiday season. I think during the holiday season, you go separate because Christmas tickets and all that, I think they're very smart with that. And probably in Europe. I think in Europe you go double as well. But other than that, I would do one series of house shows.
Aren't they doing that now for the most part, like super shows?
Yeah, largely. Yeah. I don't think they'll cut it much more than they have. Kim Gray says, I want AEW to succeed, but it's a non-watch for me lately. If I can watch it, fine. If not, fine. Yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of people feel right now. And that's what you don't want. You want to be must watch. And that's why I think that they need to get back to that.
Yeah. I want to talk about the positives.
Well, buddy, we got a bunch of fucking super chats. So that's what we're talking about. A bunch. We're going to be here a while.
Yeah. Jimmy. Before we go off the air, I want to talk about it. Cause I don't want to leave it on a negative note.
We are going to be, there's plenty of stuff to talk about, Jimmy.
Okay.
But we will be on Fightful Select, even if it's just me, breaking a story in a bit, but we have no end in sight for the super chats right now, so keep sending them in. Mike the Jeweler said, Boss Man Van, hey, what's up, my boy SRS, best scoopster in the world, saw the match on Fight Plus, looked fantastic. I knew Shazza was gonna beat that ass. Any update on Raw's contract? Also, very important question, Cookie Muffin Phil laughs in the Fed. This guy always sends like very nice, generous super chats and then takes a shot at CM Punk.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. I would expect the Raw deal to be announced with, well, definitely by Mania, but within the first couple of months of 2024 is what I'm expecting.
Did you see Shapiro's comment?
What's that?
Shapiro said, we might wait until the day before the current deal expires before we announce it. There's no chance that's going to happen.
No chance. That's him playing hardball. I think Punk will last in WWE. Carlos says, I can testify on the promotion part of AEW. Last month, they came to Oakland, California for Rampage and Collision. I found out they were in my area when I heard Paul White promoting the show the day of. They were promoting earlier. You got to promote way ahead. Yep. And they're doing that for All In now. They've got the media tour. They sent people over to London. So that's very, very smart. And I mean, that sells on a lot of name value. But look at how the tickets are doing there. They're doing great. Dante and Carlos, thank you for the generous super chat. Dante says, if we're talking about Britt Baker complaining on Twitter, she's 100% correct. The women need more time to build characters and stories. Men's booking has been good to great. Yep, completely agree. Self-fulfilling prophecy. It is a circle. If you don't book women on the show, how can people care about them? People don't care about them. Why are they going to watch? If they don't watch, they're not going to do good numbers. I completely agree. You got to give them promo time. And the advice that I had, Jimmy, was if you're a woman and you want to game the system, find a way to get over in 90 seconds like Toni Storm did.
Right, right. Let me ask you about this. So there have been these rumors lately about Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, and
let's go ahead and get to these then.
Okay.
Chances Mercedes shows back up in WWE without stepping foot in the AEW ring, based on rec spec of late. And then there was another one up here that I'll find. But what were you going
to
ask, Jimmy?
Just a few months ago, it seemed inevitable she was headed to AEW. They even had her sit in the crowd All In, and they acknowledged her on television. Yep. So it seemed inevitable. And, of course, she got injured at that time, which was shitty timing. But it seemed inevitable that she was headed to AEW.
She'd been injured before, yeah.
Right, right. Now, all of a sudden, it looks like there's a 180, and it looks like the chances of her returning to WWE are better. Do you think it's because Sasha is pretty good when it comes to her brand, right? Or Mercedes, I should say. Do you think it's because she sees how women are treated or how they're being promoted, and she sees the crowds, and she thinks WWE? No? What do you think is the reason?
I think it's all about money. I think it's all about maximizing that money. And I feel like there's a dollar figure she probably has in her head. I don't want to speak for her. We've seen how she reacts when people speak for her, and I don't blame her. We got Joel Woods saying, what do you think happens? Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte versus Damage Control, or Bayley, EO. And then we got somebody saying, how good of a chance can WWE get Mercedes? What's their chance today from what you know? Your wrestling mind, I trust. If the amount that I heard was accurate, I don't know if WWE would be jumping up and down to pay that, considering what I've heard they have paid women in the past. And I want to make this clear. It is not a she doesn't deserve it thing. It is a she should be getting paid that, because the women and men should be paid more fairly, equally, and appropriately in conjunction with one another. There was a working plan for AEW to bring in Mercedes, or at least tentatively in August. I have no longer heard that that's the plan. I haven't heard of any current plans there. I think if WWE were smart, they would look at the amount that she's asking for, which I have heard the dollar figure, and I would say that is a lot, and I will do it. That's what I would do if I were them, because she deserves it. She can be an anchor. There is an audience that she brings in that nobody else brings in. There are a wealth of just Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné wrestling fans.
We've seen that.
Wealth of them. It is worth it. She is worth the money.
Do you think she goes back as Sasha if that happens?
Jonathan says, who gets the WWE TV rights? Because everyone keeps saying Warner Brothers Discovery. It will not be Warner Brothers Discovery. I think it'll be FX.
That would be great with the Disney connection. That'd be great.
Yeah. Manuel says, I just want to say SRS is an amazing human being. From the way he deals with scoops to all the things about not making a dime wrestling, he's a blessing to the IWC.
Hey, scream it from the rooftop, paid for that buddy. One.
Yeah, yeah. It was me. It was me. Thank you so much. I'm very happy with what I make it Fightful, so If I can give back, that's cool. De La Common says, not a knock on Dave, but when you're reporting something similar, is there a certain threshold you need before reporting similar? Just curious. Anything that anybody else reports, I have to confirm myself. Otherwise, we use the term report, semicolon, ahead of that. I'm not sure exactly what this means, but I mean, I have my own methods and I never run anything single sourced. Is it confirmed both Black and Buddy want out? Not Buddy. Malachi did last year. If Triple H takes over in 2018, do we have an AEW? Ooh, that's a good question.
Yes.
I think so still. Yeah.
Yes, because they wouldn't have been able to sign all those wrestlers, right? Like,
yeah.
Because you have to understand, like, Nick Khan still has to kind of green light it. Look at how many wrestlers were available. They're not signing all of those guys. There's no chance. The only thing that might have made a big difference is if Hunter had to retain Jericho. Because Jericho in year one, I believe they might not have got the Warner Brothers deal without Jericho. And so if Hunter was able to retain him, that might have put a kibosh on the television deal for AEW. But otherwise, they couldn't have signed all those guys.
Also, yes, I think this is the match or the Four Horsemen match, Joel. Instead of launching NXT JP, why not partner with Noah? I think they see more of an upside with a Tokyo Joshi Pro. I think that's what they would say. Chances Kyle O'Reilly is the devil. I don't think he's the devil, but head over to FightfulSelect.com in a few minutes. How about that one? We got some news.
Question for you. Okay. I believe you had said that the people under the masks are the actual guys.
As of now, that's what I'm told.
Okay. So not to give anything away, but I saw people that zoomed in from Dynamite last week. They zoomed in on the guys in the hoods to make it clear. Should I say who they thought they were? Is it a spoiler? Okay. So they thought one was Mike Bennett. I can't recall who the other one was, but the point was they're part of like Cole's crew.
That's my personal prediction.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that, but that's my personal prediction. That's what I think. I think it's a bit of a not swerve. You know what I mean? Like it's in plain sight type of thing. I believe I've got almost all the super chats. I do have a few more humper chats. Any update on NXT Europe? I would expect an update in the early part of the year. The merger held things up. If AEW thing falls through, what would be the reason? Feel like AEW was going to score a touchdown by getting Mercedes. Money. It's all money and creative for a person like Mercedes. She's very smart. She knows her value. And maybe even compared to what wrestling companies think, overvalues herself. But it's better to overvalue yourself than undervalue yourself and then regret that deal, I think. Shot Kid says, for me, I don't like being an armchair businessman. Recognize WWE is hot and AEW cooled off. There's obvious stuff AEW can do better, like earlier promotion and more women, but I still really enjoy it. Yeah, I hate having to do stuff like that sometimes. I like the thrill of chasing a scoop and stuff like that more than I like breaking down the business aspect of things. I do love the business of pro wrestling and learning about it, but I don't really like scrutinizing it, breaking it down, criticizing it, but that's the job, unfortunately. So, Shot Kid, I really respect what you're saying here. Alicia says, does WWE have plans for Liv Morgan when she's back? She's been doing some promotional stuff of late. Bizarro says, Sean Claudio just spoke about going back to the Orlando style of ROH in an interview with Luke Owen. Who would be a good pick for heading that team? Anyone who could support for production? I feel Chris Hero and Brian Danielson could do some work. Danielson's scaling some stuff back. I think Chris Hero is a good person to have involved in that. I think having Ian Riccaboni involved in that, if he wanted to, because I know he's got a lot of other stuff going on, would be pretty key. As I look at that, I'm like, damn, I don't know off the top of my head who would be good at doing that.
What is it they're talking about again? About doing what?
About doing the Orlando style of ROH, like the mass taping. I think so. I've got to follow up on that. But I would get somebody from the original ROH that had some knowledge of involvement there. Tony says, with Brian repping the wrestlers for the Punk decision, is it safe to say he probably asked neutral parties for input and what should happen with Punk and possibly heard positive things for him, but they believed he was not good for the locker room? Danielson opened up about it. And to clarify, I didn't report that the head of the disciplinary committee was a position. I said he headed it up, and he did, as viewed by the wrestlers, because he was the one that spoke to them as opposed to anybody else involved. He likes Punk, and he said to them it was a very, very difficult decision, but he had to make a decision, and he felt like that was the best one for them. Jimmy, what did you think about that?
Like we talked about before, I mean, ultimately it was Tony's call, and I think they waited a week because he wanted to hear from the attorneys to see if they had grounds to terminate him with cause. I'm sure that Tony listened to Brian, and I'm sure that Brian's input was valuable, but I think ultimately it was what the attorneys told him. And I think things have worked out for both sides, if I'm being honest. I mean, I don't know if there's any negative repercussions or negative morale in AEW because of Punk going to WWE, but they didn't want him in their locker room, and WWE is seeing positive returns so far. So I think it's been good for both sides.
What happened to Taya Valkyrie? Is she still on the AEW roster? Yep. There had been some creative plans for her to be involved with Johnny on screen, but you could ask the same thing for Johnny. Like, where the hell is Johnny? But Taya wrestled ROH tapings last night, actually. So there you go. She wrestled Rachel Ellering. FTR needing a third for the House of Black match. You see one of the recent releases helping them. Also, is Jeff Jarrett in charge or have some say in promoting events or just finding venues? If he's not, he should be. Jeff Jarrett should be involved in that, I think, a little bit more than maybe than what he is. He's pretty good at finding monetization avenues, or at least finding work. I don't know if one of the third for FTR necessarily fit or like a release fit there. Like, I don't think Shelton, Mustafa Ali, or Ziggler necessarily fit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ziggler if they wanted to do something off the wall.
Yeah. Sure seems like you'd do something with his brother.
Yeah, but, it does.
Yeah.
Guys, we are finally wrapping up our Super Chats, Humper Chats. We got Eloquent saying, where is Santana? Working House of Glory. They haven't had creative plans for him of late, and they should. It's very weird to me that they don't. Daily Common says, clarification, threshold is in a volume of negative chatter behind the scenes compared to what would be normal unemployment happiness. So there's a reason why I don't usually say negative morale in the, what I'll say is I have heard from some in the locker room. I don't like to blanket statement the locker room because there are so many different people feel different things. So if you read our Fightful Select reports, I'm very, very careful about wording, and people say, well, that's because you don't want to be wrong. No shit, Sherlock, because I don't speak in definites. We're reporting wrestling gossip here. And Rock Hard wraps us up and says, let's end on a percentage. Mercedes and WWE, AEW, New Japan. I'll say 50% WWE, 25% New Japan, 25% AEW. Hot diggity damn. We're heading over to FightfulSelect.com, but you wanted to speak about some positives, Jimmy?
Yeah, I see people in the live chat saying, I thought Jimmy was going to talk about the positives with AEW.
Well, here we are.
Talking about his negative stuff. So I'll go over this quickly. I've talked about this stuff before, but for some reason, the sentiment is still out there. So this is for the haters that are saying that AEW is dying, because I've said this before, they are going nowhere. AEW is going nowhere. So first, they've got the backing of a multi-billionaire, Tony Khan Shad. That's number one. Number two, the owner, Tony Khan, he didn't start AEW because he was looking for a new business venture. He started AEW because he's got a passion for pro wrestling.
Yep.
Between the money and the passion, they're not going anywhere. Now, I have seen people online say, well, if they lose their TV, they're dead. Dynamite is still a top-ranked show on cable on Wednesday nights. They were number four last Wednesday, and the only thing that beat them was college basketball coverage. That's it.
Yep.
Now, Rampage and Collision are struggling, and I'm curious what Warner Brothers Discovery is going to do there. And honestly, it won't surprise me if there's a gap right now between what Tony Khan wants in rights and what Warner Brothers is willing to pay them in rights because of Collision and Rampage. But Dynamite is doing fine. Like, that is a valuable entity. And if Warner Brothers were to decide to pass, AEW is going to find another suitor. Like, it's not going to be an issue. There's only one thing that could be a problem, and this is where the conspiracy theorist in me wonders if WWE did it to fuck with them. And that is the CW NXT deal. Because according to Variety, NXT's getting $25 million a year. According to Deadline, they're getting $30 million a year. You never know if Warner Brothers or another outlet says to AEW, where they're similar to you in viewership and they're similar in key demo, and look what they're getting paid. But from what I understand, and you can probably back me up, I think AEW has a good relationship with Warner Brothers, and I think Warner Brothers is happy with them, correct, Sean?
Yep, as last I've heard, yes.
So I think they're going to re-sign with Warner Brothers, and I think they're going to get an increase. And here's the reality. If everybody that's saying AEW is dying, here's the reality. They're not yet profitable from what I understand, but for 2023, they are reportedly going to gross around $175 million. Gross revenue, not profit. Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics, he said that their break-even is around $200 million a year. Next year, they're going to get an increase in rights, and they're probably going to do more pay-per-view, because pay-per-view is good for them this year. They're probably going to do more next year. You put those two things together, and what do you end up with, Sean? A profitable business.
Yep.
And so the sky is not falling. AEW is not going anywhere. They're going to be profitable in 2024. They got things they need fixed.
I think they're going to learn to streamline a lot of things as well, as to control costs where maybe they're out of control in some instances as well.
Yeah, and there's definitely things they need to fix, and I can't believe this live event stuff has gone on this long. But yeah. They're going to be fine. I do question, like I said, the future of Collision, but they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Dynamite's going to get an increase. It's still a top-rated show. They're going to add streaming into the mix, more pay-per-view. They're going to be fine.
Jimmy, you joining me on The List Goes On, or are you done?
I'm done because I got little people here.
Okay, I am going to head over to The List Goes On. I will break some interesting news. I'll talk to you guys for a few minutes. It'll be a shorter show than usual, but we went long today. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Join me tomorrow, Thursday, 7 p.m. I'll be on with Shazza talking about the match. Some of the funny stories around this match are ridiculous, but all the proceeds will also go to NAMI.org. Thank you all so much. We're out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.